It's a good feeling in the air that the rest of the world is having fun too, just as we are, but they're not getting into the spirit of Easter. They're getting into the spirit of a resurrection. There wasn't a thing said so far in our seminar that wasn't true 2,000 years ago. Not one word. It just wasn't taught. The few who were aware couldn't speak out. There wasn't a level of consciousness that could understand. And it's funny how, as we look back at the Bible now, certain words have a different meaning. They have all meant one thing to us at one time. Maybe they changed somewhat as the years went by. But today, this minute, they have a different meaning. And I'll give you several examples. At the last moment on the cross, what were Jesus' last words? Very close to his last words anyway. It is finished. We thought that meant his life was over. It meant that he had just finished the demonstration of what the world needed to know. There wasn't another thing he could do to teach them what he wanted to teach them. He had prepared for his own crucifixion. And now he was finished with the demonstration. The rest was up to the executioner and the rest of the people who were going to bury him. He said just what he had finished. It is finished. My demonstration is finished. And then the strangest thing happened. Even in the Bible, no one suspected it. He then gave up the ghost. What did he mean? It's somewhat embarrassing because we still have the ghost. He gave it up. He gave it up to show us that when you give it up, you don't give up anything except the illusion. The ghost was his body. And then he left the words, raise the dead, raise the dead, raise the dead. What did he mean? We hate to see it. We hate to admit it. But he was saying that we're all dead. And he was right. We all had accepted mortality. We were all dead. What did raise the dead mean? It meant one simple thing. Accept immortality. Accept life where you think there is death. And here we are 2,000 years later. But we're not 2,000 years later. There's no time. We're right back where we started. Only now we can change our viewpoint and see who we are. You came here as a mortal being. You're going home as an immortal being, which you have always been. That's quite an adjustment, isn't it? I don't mean for you to tell your families who you are, or to change your contracts for certain things that you have in your life. You're not required to make a single change in your life. You're simply required to know that I am the living Spirit of God and that my life is eternal. You're given life instead of death. You cannot die. And that covers every single one of us. You cannot die. They'll never put you in a coffin. If they put your material body in a coffin, you won't be in it. That's really the message of Easter. That's what Easter is all about. You can never bury us, because we can never die. We were never born. We are the children of God, truly. And when I say God is my Father, I'm saying that eternal life is my Father. Before we were playing games. We didn't know. But now when we do know that God is truly my Father, it would be wise for us to get acquainted with our Father. Who is God? Do I mean to say that God is a far-off someone? Certainly not. Do I mean to say that God is indifferent to who I am? Certainly not. There is an incredible, infinite, eternal bond in which the Father and the Son are one. And everyone who not only accepts Christ in the spirit of Christ, but attains the realization of Christ, is in that eternal bond. When the voice says, I and the Father are one, this is Christ. And when you know that Christ is you, that the kingdom of God truly is within you, then you have an Easter celebration. I am the kingdom of God. I live in the kingdom of God. I walk on the earth, and there are gangs on the earth polluting all the towns. Why don't they bother you? They don't bother the kingdom of God. They don't bother the Son of God. If you're bothered, you had better recheck who you are. And maybe it's possible for us to set an example for them, so that in seeing who we are, without a word being spoken, they will find that everything that they're trying to steal and rob and pollute, they already have. They have all the wealth in the world. Christ is within them too. And we must never lose sight of the fact that these gangs polluting cities are not what they appear to be. Do we behold them in Christhood? Do we lift them up? We have an obligation to do that. And as we lift them up, out of their belief that they are mortals, that they are marauding mobs, something will come through. Something will lift them. Something will teach them, wait a minute, what am I robbing this stuff for? I don't really want it. I'm just robbing for the sake of robbing, just to be doing something. I have all this nervous energy to burn, and this gives me an outlet. If that gets across to one of them, it gets across to 100 of them. If we set the example, wherever we are, not for goodness, not for morality, but for divinity. There was a time when if you were moral, you were on God's side. Nobody cared that you died after that. Christianity is more than morality. Christianity is divinity. Christianity. Who is Christianity but you and I? Because the kingdom of God within me is the Christ. Christianity outside is nothing. Christianity outside is just a word. Christianity realized in you is saying that I am the Christ, my neighbor is the Christ. I must love my neighbor as myself because we are the same Christ. The ghost says we are human beings. We have different faces and different bodies. That's why he gave up the ghost. Underneath is the one self. Imagine, one self. It's awful hard to live with that. What color is the self? No color at all. What age is the self? Can the self be different ages? The self is an eternal self. It never had a beginning. Isn't that a miracle? It never has an end. Isn't that a miracle? And yet, what are we learning about? The realization of oneness. That I am the one self. And the moment I know I am the one self, whoever knows he or she is the one self is one with me. And we can prove it. So many ways. I need help. Please help me. They put it in the mailbox. Joel doesn't receive it, and they get the help. They put it in the mailbox, and they get the help at that moment. Because they're tuned into the one self that he is. You've all had that experience. At least many of you have. It's always amazing, and it's always wonderful. And it always brings you up with a start. Because suddenly you realize that there's no time. The time is always now in the one self. And even though there's 3,000 miles between us, the miracle happens. So there's no space. We're in a state of oneness when we walk through the universe. Now, when we maintain this state of oneness, we're going to pass a point which begins to establish the reality of what we are in consciousness. For some time we say it, and we hope that it's true. Or maybe we know it's true, but it hasn't yet come into our daily life as a fact of life. But sometime it reaches the point where it overflows. And you're actually smitten with a realization that I'm in touch with every part of God's universe right now. I can't understand what infinity is, but I'm in touch with infinity. And then you realize that it is I. I'm just this little spot over here as a physical being. But it is I. And then you get aware that a new feeling has come to you that you can't describe. And that's a soul experience. It comes to everyone. A soul experience which lifts you out of the mind and therefore out of the body. And you don't know where you are, but you know you're somewhere. And you're in the infinite, and you're unaware of it. And you're trying to find out things. You're scouring the infinite. You're looking everywhere. And you're feeling with a new dimension of yourself. Your eyes aren't telling you anything because there's no value in it. Your ears aren't. It's even your mind that's blasted. You're not in your mind. But what is this thing I feel? And then you become aware that the Christ mind is coming into your life. or rather your life is coming into the Christ mind. That moment of Christhood, in the Bible it's called the coming of the Son of Man. You are bursting into your new dimension. In that moment of Christhood, you stand connected to everything in the kingdom of God. That's an incredible computer which outdoes any human computer, any mechanism made by man. You're one with the kingdom of God. And anyone who comes into that oneness feels it. The power is in that oneness. It makes God and you, in infinity, one. Just as the sun is connected to that big thing up there. Imagine, it's so far away, and yet the sunbeam down here wouldn't be here and couldn't be here if it were not connected. That's how you are. You're connected. And from that moment on, you're never disconnected. Even if you don't realize it anymore, the connection is there. And the connection is there now. Because that is where you came from. We all came from the seventh heaven. And we're in the fourth, on the way back to the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. That's the illusion decreasing. In the fifth dimension, in the fifth plane, the plane of soul, you're going to become aware of a strange phenomenon. You won't know what it is. But you'll want to know. You'll be all ears and all eyes, and yet your ears and eyes can't bring it back into your consciousness. It's beyond vision. It's beyond five senses. Your soul finds your spirit. Whatever is that? Your soul falls in love with your spirit. Your spirit falls in love with your soul. But your soul is in the fifth plane, and your spirit is in the sixth. That's two planes coming together. And when it happens, there's no human you around. There's no human you when it happens. You're closer to your reality. It must go outside of this consciousness, higher. And so you won't be in control of it. But you're learning how to lose control, how to turn it over to a higher source. When your soul finds your spirit, and they attain oneness, they only attain what they already have, but they haven't been conscious of it. The oneness of your soul and spirit is the mystical marriage. Now your life is almost about to become known to you in the full. Because the next step is Christ is born in you. And when Christ is born in you, that is your realization that I have always been Christ. Always. And Christ is born in the Immaculate Conception, which has nothing to do with human beings. That Immaculate Conception of the Christ in you brings you into the full Godhead, in which you inherit all that God has. Nobody can see you. Not in this world. Because you're not in this world. You're the infinite yourself. And each of us is the infinite. Now. Not 2,000 years ago, not even 10,000 years ago, were we not the infinite. We always were from the beginning, and there is no beginning. Before there was time, there was us. There was one self. And that self is you, and the more you realize it, the more it will express. We must be still and know that self. Now, there have been interesting revelations to individuals during this small seminar, this brief seminar. People have heard things and seen things. We have seen a little of the power our meditation for the AIDS. It was successful in one case that I know of. Quickly. We're slowly coming into a realization that is too big to handle, that we can't dish out to the world, but it is our function to live the truth as best we can. Now you can see if Christ had given what we are beginning to know to the world, that there was no way it could handle it. There's no way it can handle it even today. Someone came up and said to me, it takes a lot of courage to say what you're saying. In my opinion, it takes a lot of courage not to say it. Because when we are aware of the truth, we've got to share it, but only with those who want to share it, those who are eager to share it. There were people on this earth who knew as much as we and more. But they have all transcended. And now, the group on the earth that is ready to transcend, our function is to walk among them, to share with them, to teach them. Because we do know certain things that they don't know. But don't hide it in a closet, and don't shout it to the masses. Live it. Be it. When it was thought that by being moral I was doing the best I could, I was fulfilling God's all commands, I wasn't even brushing the surface. Being moral isn't being divine. Morality is just a little piece of divinity. Now we want to see ourselves as a more complete individual than we have. You have had many problems up to this point. They might be big ones, they might be little ones, but there were those problems. Now get out your iron and press them out. Get all the wrinkles out of them. See that each problem is a challenge to your reality. Each problem is a challenge to your divinity. And that's why they're there. That's the only reason you have problems, because your divinity must be challenged until your divinity establishes itself as the only power. There is no power lesser or greater than divinity. It is a single one power that rules the universe for you. But be sure that divine power is what you are trying to experience, not superior human power. That's by muscle. That's by physical approaches to living. That's by brain work. These are not the powers that are divine. Christ never uses force. Christ is completely unarmed and puts no hand on anyone. Doesn't even touch people. No force, no physical force. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Just the knowledge of being. And until the knowledge of being takes care of what you must take care of invisibly and brings the outer visible manifestation into harmony, you're not into Christ power. Just as you can swat that fellow, his big brother can swat you. And that's not power. We don't even have to do anything about other things that are not requiring physical power. There's always a disturbance in our life, or several. It can be a million things. The way to handle that disturbance is to be yourself. It's only disturbing you when you're not yourself. So the disturbance really is in you, because it's telling you I'm not being myself. Whatever is wrong in your life, it isn't happening out there. It's the concept you entertain. That's what's wrong. It appears as someone else or some outside situation. But that's the hypnosis. The hypnosis begins when you, in yourself, have not accepted the full stature of yourself. Please try to remember that there's never anyone harming you, even a man pointing a gun at your head. That's happening inside of you. Everything on the outside is an image formed by a consciousness inside. And maybe you're saying, well, maybe that image is formed by his consciousness, not mine. Don't make that mistake. Your consciousness of what you think is outside is what you're experiencing at all times. But when your consciousness becomes immaculate, when it's taking its orders from the seven heavens, when the seven veils are removed, you'll find the Christ consciousness within is what I experience. Jesus lived at a time when the Roman Empire was treating people as slaves. They had every nation they could under their grip. And they wanted him to be the Messiah. That meant, why don't you lead our armies, and with your power in front of us, we can overthrow Rome. He had a different plan. What year do you think Rome disappeared? Around 60-something?
62.
I didn't see any outward commotion. What was Jesus doing on the inner plane? Nobody's put that all together, have they? When they do, they'll find that Christ on the inner plane destroyed the Roman Empire, the man they crucified. Destroyed the Roman Empire without striking a single blow. How did he do it? Well, first of all, he was the Christ. He had the power. He had the power of the infinite. More important than all of the soldiers in Rome combined. And he didn't have to do a thing. All he had to do was live in consciousness and let Rome destroy itself because it had no reality. It had absolutely no reality. It was out there, floating around in what seemed to be space. It was mortal men, mortal minds, mortal lives. They were images in space. To the world, they were just like the world was. Nobody suspected that mortality is an image in space. And you have heard it, and you will forget it. But there will be a day when you reflect and Christ becomes your life, and you will see that the Roman Empire was just another challenge. It never had true existence. But it's very shocking to find a power of that magnitude which can crumple. And when you think of your human power, think of the Roman Empire. It crumpled quickly. Your human power, a fragment of that power, is going to crumple just as quickly. And it's not a question of will it or won't it. It will. There will come a day when your human power will be seen for what it is. The purpose of this class today, this class which began on Thursday night, is to see that you step out of the belief in human power, step out of the belief in human life, and find that every word spoken by Jesus Christ in the revelation was directed to your intelligence, but more to your spirit, to your soul, so that you would at last come into a realization of the message which he poured out upon the earth seemingly 2,000 years ago. He was saying at that time by his revelation to John, mortality is the enemy of man. I have come to show it. I have come to show that it can be conquered. If you have ears, hear. And for each veil that you uncover, there will be more added to you in the way of true knowledge. You would never suspect that your life was considered unreal, but you must if you see that it goes and it dies. Do you think that is a God activity, the death of a human life? No. There's something more waiting for you, for your acceptance of it. And it takes the courage, and it takes the initiative, and it takes the absence of apathy to reach out and reach for something you cannot quite understand with that inner conviction that it's there. It's higher than I am. It's better than I am. It's greater than I am. And I am what it is. This that I am, this me, is not what it is. You will get the idea that a new race is being formed, the new species. The new species that is being formed is of all who know that I am the I am. The Bible calls them the 144,000. 12 times 12. Infinity. No more reincarnating for those who realize that I am that I am. I'm at a state of development which is not my true self, not my true life, and I'm reaching above it. I'm going to touch it. You take your life now. There's always death waiting at the end of it. You take your parents. They have died or they're not dead. There's always death waiting at the end of it. We've been doing that for centuries. We are now going to break that chain. There isn't death waiting at the end of it. You can understand and realize that there's no death waiting at the end for you. And when you reach that conviction, that's a start. There absolutely is no death waiting at the end for us. Because we are not going to die, we are not living in this life. It seems that all of humanity has been poured out into these forms which Jesus gave up and was called giving up the ghost. And there's a sense of life. In fact, you never believe that it's anything but life. And it's not. It's the imitation of life. It's the imitation of life. The mortal is the imitation, at best, of an immortal. But the new species in which we are raised with the Spirit of God living within us, and then living as us, which is the Son of God, and which has a life as long as the Father has, which has all of the powers of God, this new life is our realization of a new life. But it is not a new life. When we started, we were in the seventh heaven. When we traveled downward, we didn't travel in fact, we traveled only in belief. So we traveled to the 6th and the 5th and the 4th and the 1st, down to the 1st. And we didn't know anything then because we were not even an animal. We were lower than the serpents, lower than a fly. And from the 1st, consciousness began to come to us. We had to go back to the Father's house. We had to travel all that distance in consciousness, not in actuality, because we were always in the seventh heaven. That's our real life. And the seventh heaven includes all 6 others. In the travel back, we became conscious of ourselves as all the sorts of things that Darwin discovered, until we came to this 4th realm. Planet of the Apes. And from the chimpanzee, Darwin discovered man came. Well, that was true as far as it went. But he didn't know who man was. Even the chimpanzee had in itself the Christ. And every animal that ever existed had in itself the Christ. And we were unfolding, unfolding, unfolding. And now we're here, we're called man. But the coming of the Son of Man is the real man. The man with a capital M. The one man, the only man. And it's hard for you to accept, perhaps, but in order to be an infinite being, which you are, there is only one. One infinite being. And though you say you are it, and I say I am it, we are both correct. We are that infinite one. After all, we have 5 fingers. We don't mind that. But they are one hand. We are the infinite one. We're individuals. And these individuals are spread all over the world. They have one life. Just one. And it's infinite. And you can accept that one life and derive the fullness of what it comprises, or you can live in the individuality and reject that one life, and that is your choice at the moment. You can choose it or reject it. You can grow with it, or you can die. And as you grow with it, if you decide to, you'll discover that the one life then manifests in a higher plane. It doesn't manifest physical bodies. It manufactures light bodies. It doesn't manufacture bodies of this size. You, in your light body, your next body, will discover you're a higher type of life than you are here. This is the truth of our being that is becoming known to a few, and they are willing to rise out of mortality now, to give it permission to go. They're not clinging to it. With a quiet. I'd like to get to the extreme point of stillness. Some of you might call it a holy hush. We'll be quiet in the spirit.